name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We celebrate today the 20th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two, and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father, a mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to
you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Saint Ignatius of Loyola, you may know of him, heard of him. He died in 1556. In 1521, he was a soldier in the Spanish army, 30 years old, fighting against France, and he was hit with a cannonball on his left leg, left him wounded, and they did some type of surgery in the 1500s on his leg. And he was placed in a castle to convalesce and to heal. He was very lively, he wasn't religious at that point, quite the contrary. He had a great imagination. His dream was chivalry, to fight for Spain, become something, a prince, something in the court. Great ideas of what he wanted to become. But they had no books on chivalry in the castle, so for 3 months he was stuck. And the only books that they had were books on saints and religious books. And he gravitated towards two books that he read, the life of St. Catherine of Siena and St. Francis of Assisi. And this changed his life. He had a major conversion. He became a priest, and eventually we know him because he founded the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, and the great spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, which allows us through reflection to discern good spirits from evil spirits. If you haven't read that or heard of that, it is an amazing treasure of the church. Why do I bring him up? Well, he had a way of himself, of reminding himself the radical message of what the kingdom of God is. This message today that we hear, that I come to divide, not to bring peace. But then we call him the Prince of Peace. And so he had this exercise that he would do with his lively Spanish personality to remind himself the message that is so outside of our sphere, of what we understand, what God is, because God's ways are not our ways. And so to get into that where Christ says today, I have come to set the world on fire, to divide. This is what Ignatius does. He tells himself, I will place before myself a human king. And what he's trying to tell us is that kings, when they conquer a kingdom, they take all the spoils, all the gold, whatever they have. When the king is the king, and that's for him, the people live, and he protects them. He doesn't share the spoil. He doesn't share what they've gotten through war and through fighting. But Christ, in the kingdom of God, is so outside of that kind of typical kingdom, that this is what he does with his mental exercise. He says, I will place myself before my mind a human king chosen by God himself. I will observe how this king speaks to all his people, saying, my will is to conquer the whole land. Hence, however, whoever wishes to come with me has to be content with the same food I eat and the drink and the clothing that I will wear. So already this king is telling you, I'm going to share the riches And that is God. He is sharing his divinity with us. He's sharing his place in heaven with us. Ignatius goes on. So too, each one of us must labor with me, this king is saying to his subjects and his people of his land, during the day, and keep watch with me in the night, so that later each may have a part with me in the victory, just as each has shared in the toil. My will is to conquer the whole world and all my enemies, and thus to enter into the glory of my Father. It is fitting that St. Ignatius would use these kind of words of king and fighting and the spoils of the ravages of war and getting the loot because he was a soldier. Historically, as I said, kings don't share what they have with their peasants. That's why they're peasants. We are not peasants in the kingdom of God. And the radical message is what we must understand, that is such an incredible message outside the sphere of what we think. The issue at hand, what I said, is that the wisdom of God is not the wisdom of man. And the mysterious ways of God are not the mysterious and utter ridiculous ways of the world that we see in our midst today and has always been since the fall of Adam and Eve. And this is what happens in the first reading. Jeremiah, like Christ, comes to the people with a message of love and repentance. And they say the opposite. His princes tell the king, Jeremiah ought to be put to death because he's demoralizing the soldiers. He's demoralizing them because they're living in sin. And they do not know what true love of God is. But yet they throw him into a cistern and almost let him die. It's another Christ. Jeremiah is not alone. In the Old Testament, the New Testament is full of stories of martyr prophets speaking truth. The apostles, all throughout being persecuted and killed. This is why St. Paul in the second reading states, so let us remember that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Have God done the same thing? So persevere in running the race that lies before us while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. It's so beautiful because St. Ignatius was a soldier and he related with war and princes and fighting. And St. Paul, I guess, must have been an athlete. He was always about running the race, the crown of olive leaves that these Olympians, they fight for, yet they lay waste the true race of spirituality in the kingdom of heaven. But that still doesn't solve why Christ comes to divide. What does he mean? Again, I have come not to establish peace and to divide the household. But Jesus says, I have come to set the earth on fire. And how I wish it were already ablaze. My brothers and sisters, a fire is set ablaze when we speak truth. Like the prophet Jeremiah that was published. We know the term, the truth hurts. It's a term we use all the time. Because the truth is and will cut, as scripture says, like a two-edged sword. Pope Benedict XVI states he's still living, as we know. The message of the church is there precisely in order to conflict with our behavior. I'm going to repeat that. The message of the church is there precisely in order to conflict with our behavior, to divide, to tear man out of his life of lies, and to bring clarity and truth. Truth makes demands, and it burns. Many of us, we all do it, and many people live their lives avoiding the truth of who they are, of what they have as far as addictions, as far as they have of disorder, and never face those truths and turn to other things. As prophets were killed in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and the Son of God, Christ, truth personified, we too, if we have the soul and the strength to speak truth, will be crucified, either mentally, but we who adhere to the truth as promulgated by Holy Mother Catholic Church can theoretically be killed for the truth. God grants us the courage if that ever happens, because we see what's happening in the world all over. plight of abortion, the thoughts on contraception, the sanctity of man and a woman, what is happening, and how you stand aligned if you don't agree, because the truth cuts like a sword, and that same sword can be used and is being used to kill Christians all over the world. We just live in America. Look at it. But read a little bit and you'll see how many Christians are being killed every day because they say, I believe in the truth, Jesus Christ. But my brothers and sisters, I want to leave you with a couple thoughts of caution. Because we too have the capacity to kill a brother or sister that is not inside our faith, doesn't think like us, doesn't look like us, that does adhere to abortion and the disorder of not marriage beyond a man and a woman, or marriage beyond one man and a woman. We too have the capacity to kill. Perhaps not with a sword or with hanging, but in our fallen nature, with our human sensitivities, our faults, our insecurities, our pride, our arrogance, our selfishness, our jealousies, our complex personalities, we too can murder our neighbor, even in our own pew, with our looks, with our thoughts, with our heart, with cold indifference, and the most sharpest two-edged sword, the tongue. Gossip, speaking ill of one that doesn't look or even believe like us, even with the disorder that we see. God have mercy on our brothers and sisters and on us, that we may stand true at the time that we stood true to the truth of Holy Mother Catholic Church. So you see how the truth is a division, and it can happen within families. If we adhere and have the courage to say, in love, this is the way God and His Church has taught us for 2,000 years. And so Christ comes to divide us from whatever keeps us from Him. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus.